Thursday, 5 a.m., October 28th. All is well, and my heart is in a new freedom. And I cannot see it yet. Your plan unfolds. But as I stay close to you, O Lord, the transition will take place. As I heard Dutch Sheets and his turn of 180 degrees, he expected would take 1 year or more. Took exactly 2 days. Two literal 24-hour days. So I thank you, Lord, for the grace to stretch for the next step up. Your faithfulness is all I need, and then a clear path to follow. 6:15, I hear Acts chapter 10. Seeing the angel prepare Peter and Cornelius, for that was the preordained what was to be a great encounter by Holy Spirit falling on the Gentiles. I don't know how, but Pastor Bayman will call or text, and there will be a clear plan unfold to bring God's plan to the purpose that he has prepared. And I will obey. I listened to the rest of Chuck Pierce's message because after I listened to Dutch, I'm hearing, put YouTube on. No, excuse me. After I read Acts chapter 10, the whole thing, I'm hearing YouTube Chuck Pierce. Whatever comes on first, don't manipulate the TV or the YouTube channel. And I listen, and then I hear, just listen to the next piece and its introduction to the courts of heaven, Robert Henderson. And I heard, don't touch the dial. He says, Cornelius is chosen, and his place is the portal opened by God to release Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. I'm shocked because now I'm aware that Robert Henderson is actually at the Toronto airport. And it's John and Carol Arnott that are the speakers giving everything Holy Spirit had given them to give. And I remember being there myself with my brother and his wife. And I said, Lord, you're not finished. You're not finished with what you've prepared for John and Carol. Carol was under such anointing, she could not move. She was frozen in the position of standing, and there was a lady trying to help her. And when you get into that anointing where they were watching people from all over the earth being transformed, the Holy Spirit would just impact the room to such a degree that he was the author and finisher of everything, and it wasn't men and women doing what they wanted to do. But when he repeated what he wanted for me to understand, the open portal that is over this place is God ordained. It is not something that happened by accident. It's not something that prepared man for man. It prepared by God for God. There's a difference. When you brought in the aqueduct a few days back, I don't remember what day.
It was the first day of the feast.
It was the first day of the feast? Okay. You had an understanding of it. But for me, it brought another understanding. Because it goes back to what happened at the Econo Lodge. And God's preparations take years to manifest. Cornelius was such a gifted man in God's plan, and yet he was not able to even be in the presence of a Jew because it was illegal.
Right.
It was something the Jews were not allowed to go and do. And it took such an incredible miracle for Peter to listen and obey, because he even argued with God. So, say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I have eyes that see,
I have eyes that see,
my ears do perceive,
my ears do perceive,
you're on the job,
you're on the job,
and you're trying to get through to me,
and you're trying to get through to me.
So I'm going to Acts chapter 10.
I'm going to Acts chapter 10.
With the pastor right now.
With the pastor right now.
Whether the enemy likes it or not.
Whether the enemy likes it or not.
We're going to watch.
We're going to watch.
What happens when there's an open portal?
What happens when there's an open portal?
The heavens can release.
The heavens can release.
His angelic assistants.
His angelic assistants.
And they're welcome here today.
And they're welcome here today.
No rules or regulations.
No rules or regulations.
That God has ordained for a season.
That God has ordained.
Will hold me back from what He has planned.
Will hold me back from what He has planned.
For me. In Jesus' name. What you have prepared for the house of prayer.
Will manifest on time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It will not be late.
It will not be late.
Verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Do you hear that?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He gave generously to those in need, so he wasn't stingy, and prayed to God regularly. Now, you got to remember, he's living in the area where Jews are by the dozens on every street corner. But he's actually got a relationship with God.
Amen.
One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayer and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God.
Amen.
That should tell you why you give. I don't need to tell you why you give. You can see it for yourself. If this man was stingy and did not give, would the angel have been released to him?
No.
No.
Oh. Why?
His heart is wrong.
His heart is wrong. Does he know it?
Might not.
See, are you aware that when you break open your tradition and you do something out of the box for God's people that are broken, are you aware that's what he's watching is your heart? Not necessarily the amount, not necessarily the item or the gift that you're giving, but it has an impact on God, where his whole realm will be at his disposal in the time appointed to move you from the outside of the believers to the inside of the believers. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the outside, which I shared with you about my son. You know, I'm watching the change, and I'm watching the actions and the reactions, and this is dealing with more than one family. And it's an impact that is actually 30-something years of praying. God, what are you going to do with this one? How are you going to turn it around? Watch again. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. He's not a Jew. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. That's very similar to the instructions that he's giving you, my friend. Specifics, detailed instructions, piece by piece, to accomplish God's purpose, not to glorify himself, but to glorify the one who created him. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called to two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. So you mean Cornelius has got enough wisdom to send somebody dependable.
Amen.
Someone that is going to carry the ball. Amen?
Amen.
He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean."
Amen.
This happened, watch again, three times. So is God able to get through to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to take second and third times? Yes. Okay? And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. The purpose had been driven home. Amen?
Amen.
While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, who's the Spirit? Holy Spirit. Got it? Holy Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So he's coming into a house filled with
Gentiles,
relatives and friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. Don't you love it? He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit with him. So he's giving him a heads up. I'm here, but I'm not exactly happy about it. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. Get a load of that one. See, mentality can put you in trouble so quickly. But when God wants to get through to you, he's got angels available. And he's got trances available. He's got visions available. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was on my roof praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gift to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Oh, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, and by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed to, as judge of the living and the dead. He is the one who God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins from his name or nature. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water and have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. You see, what the Jews were actually facing were similar to many of the religious folks that go to church every Sunday. And they go with the limitations of the knowledge that they have. And they know that they're doing something for God. Okay? I've shared with you that the very first time that I went to the prayer group that was in the Catholic Church in Warren, I was so stunned to watch what was visible in front of me. It impacted my life to such a degree that I was able to orchestrate what God wanted me to do. Like Cornelius, I had all kinds of limitations. I was boxed by a box on my head that was full of religion, like anyone else that started there. Now, was that God's plan? Absolutely. Was I able to judge and find fault with these that were stuck like I was? Absolutely not, because I didn't know. There are many people out there in the churches, with an S, okay, that really believe that they are on target with God and they're missing out on Holy Ghost. They're missing out about the next revelation because they have walked away from him.
Amen.
Because of the leadership. And I tell you this, I'm not judging them. They did the best they could, but they were very nasty to the Holy Ghost. And I saw it with my own eyes and with my ears. I can tell you that when God allowed me to see what the potential was of watching the church come alive, I saw that in Jesus 77 at Yankee Stadium in New York, where I watched all the different denominations at that time share one platform and declare Jesus to be the Lord. There were thousands of people. That place was packed to the rafters. And my wife and I were there. And we watched what God could do with a corporate body functioning under the headship of Jesus and his Spirit. And the worship was absolutely outstanding. I can remember lifting our hands in that stadium, and there were thousands worshiping God. And that was in 77, not 2007. Hear me? And to me, that was a sample. That was a little taste of what he's about to do. Why? Because he wants to make himself known to these that are stuck in traditions of men. And I say it not to judge, but because I've lived it. And I've watched what happens. And I've watched the Holy Spirit want to come in and do a work in these churches. I had a talk with my sister this week, and we talked about her background and how she saw the legalism of men overseeing and overpowering the leadership that was designed by God to bring the Word of God, but the people in the church refused to let the Holy Ghost in or to use the anointed pastor that could not be used because he was shaking their tree, making them see something they didn't want to see. Why am I saying this? Because again, I believe that what happened in Acts chapter 10 is a sample. It is a real piece of information that you can take to the bank and say, God has not changed, but people haven't changed either. But they can be changed.
That's right. Amen.
And it takes an impact from heaven to have it happen. It needs to have supernatural awareness come into you, like an angel coming into her car. Whatever he has to do, Holy Spirit literally coming out of nowhere in the middle of the flatlands of Canada to show me that I had obeyed and bawled my way home, okay? Crying my eyes out. I forgot to tell you, the celebration happened on Saturday night, and my sister went home to be with the Lord on Friday night at 12 o'clock. And she had told me, I'm coming to the celebration. I will be there. Don't you dare take my plate away. So we had set up her plate next to my dad's. And she did go home. And so God did what he did. And those were samples to convince me of the intensity of the need of Holy Spirit. See, if Holy Spirit wasn't needed, do you think Jesus would have told you, I'm going to send my Spirit? If he was really joking, you know, let's face it. And you've got churches all over this country operating without him. Did you hear me? Operating without him. You've got perversion going on all over the place. And nobody's saying anything about it. But it's starting to visibly be seen. Why? Because I believe the darkness has to come up. So you can start seeing what's going on. Not just in the political realm, but in churchianity. Yeah. And it's out there. Amen. Why do you think people get discouraged? All right? They don't want to go because obviously they're seeing the manure. Oh, God.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to go one step further.
Yes.
When all this came, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was holding a package. It was about as big as my Bible container here. It was white plastic sealed. And on top of it was manure. And I knew it was filled from manure. Okay? And it's on my lap. And I'm saying in the dream, I got to get rid of this. I need some water here to wash this away. And the Lord said, I put it there. And what you perceive is something stinky can be used for my glory. Now, when you have manure, you have a choice. I have a nice container. Okay? We used to go and buy a bag, a plastic bag of manure to put it around some of the vegetables and around a tree that's dying. Why? Make a choice. Stop worrying about how much it smells. But make a choice and use the manure that's in your lap to manure the tree that's dying. And that tree could be you. Okay? It won't smell that much when you have living water, literally putting it into the ground so that you can be the tree of life. You say, oh my God, come on, Kim. I'm telling you the truth. You need to have garbage in front of you sometimes to turn it into a compost. Don't let the garbage that you're living through try to destroy you, because that's what the enemy wants you to believe. Okay. Lift up one hand one more time. Say, Lord.
Lord.
I see some manure.
I see some manure.
I've got a choice.
I've got a choice.
I can put up with the smell.
I can put up with the smell.
And not move at all.
And not move at all.
But also I can ask.
But also I can ask.
Holy Ghost. To pour some living water on it.
To pour some living water.
And open that container. And let it be used.
As a fertilizer.
To make me grow up. Out of my old pattern.
And not look at how much it smells.
But to look at the potential of the quick growth that will come. When I've got enough manure to make it happen.
I give you praise, Father.
You've got a plan.
And I'm not going to try to pull away from it.
I'm going to rejoice. The manure has a purpose. And it will be used for your glory.
And when I see others that are stuck.
And more broken than me. I'll be there to help them. And to support them. And to lift them up.
Until they make it to the victory.
And Jesus is our victory. He's the one that took the pain. And all of the abuse.
Even the crucifixion.
To erase every trace of sin. And that includes mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.